One thing we all learned is that life is cold and apathetic. It does not care about you or what you need or want. As Rocky says, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there if you let it. That's where this podcast comes in. We're going to swing back, encourage you to take your shots at life, and help motivate you to stand when you don't feel like standing. My name is Mark Calvin. I've been through many rough roads in my life, and I want to share what I have learned to help you stay on the path, keep your focus, and not stop moving forward. Take your seats. Class is in session. Well, hey, here we are. Gonna mix it up a little bit today, class. We're gonna talk about marriages and surviving the tough times and, you know, just things that you can do. And to do this properly, I want to make sure that we get both sides of the marriage and both perspectives and both inputs. So my wife, Kelly, will be joining me on this podcast. We are recording on a phone through the Anchor app. I'm gonna plug Anchor right here. If you have not started a podcast, please do. And go to anchor.fm and check it out. Especially if you have something to say and something to teach others, maybe motivational, maybe educational, maybe you just want to empower others. Great way to do it. But like I said, we want to talk about how we've made it through. And it'll be interesting, some things you may know, some of you who may know us personally, some of you who don't know us. You may be interested to know kind of the tough times we've gone through and are still going through. But what we're going to do is I'm going to basically, so you know the scenario, I'm going to lay my phone between us at the table. We're going to be drinking water and coffee and just talking between us. We don't have any high-tech equipment. I would like to get to that point someday, but right now we're just using our phones. And actually, on my phone. But we're going to talk about the last 7 or 8 years and talk about how we've made it through. We'll talk about the struggles and how we've made it through. So after the break, you'll get to meet my awesome better half, and we will go from there. So stay tuned. Hey, here we are, back from the break. You noticed I added a little bit of music there after the advertisement, so we could separate the advertisement, which is me, because we're all low-tech around here. I wanted to separate the advertisement from the actual episode. We're sitting at the kitchen table. Nothing big, nothing high tech, no major studios, just has a phone between us and a few notes to make sure we cover what we need to cover. But I would like to introduce my better half, meaner half, smarter half. And actually, you know, she's a doctor that she plays on TV, and she's a meteorologist and all kinds of other stuff too.
Police detective.
Yeah, police detective. You know, all of those things. This is my wife, Kelly.
Hello.
So what we're going to do is talk about the struggles. When we talk about these things, we're going to add what's happened to us over the past, 8 years?
Struggles in a marriage.
Yeah, struggles in a marriage. And how we've made it to this point, and don't get us wrong, we're still struggling. Trust me, we haven't won the lottery or, you know, anything like that, or gained any type of superpowers or, you know, that kind of thing. But what we're doing is we just want to go through this and kind of give you guys maybe some tips, maybe some thoughts where you're like, oh my gosh, somebody else is going through struggles like this too. And if you hear a little bit of background noise, it's probably one of our cats that we've adopted that's running around being crazy.
Kitten.
And I know that's not professional or anything, but that's what it is. That's kind of how our life is. So you're kind of getting a little bit of a tip into what life is like. So anyway, let's get started. You wanna start with the way back?
Well, we met 9 years ago. This is just a quick synopsis. Met 9 years ago on an internet website, internet dating site. Then we kind of met at a Perkins in Great Bend, Kansas. About got thrown out and been together ever since. Got married, it'll be 8 years next month.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of gone downhill from there. I mean, not us together. Together we are solid, but our married life has pretty much sucked.
it has been bad, but yeah,
between the two of us, we have four kids. We have my two that are 25, 23, and they each have the 25-year-old has three kids, the 23-year-old has one, and then his boys are 19 and 17.
Yep. And one of them's still in high school, and one of them is in his actually finishing up his second year of college. So we kind of have family all over the place, and that's not to mention, you know, family we have in other states, you know, family and friends on the other side of the state. You know,
we've moved around every 2 years due to his job as a principal, and so we've made friends in several different towns that we've lived in, my hometown, his hometown, so we've just kind of been here and there and everywhere, so it's been nice, but then again it's been kind of awful. But when it started getting bad was like the month after we got married, like to the day. I was heading into work at the hospital down the street from where we lived. And I come by this honestly, but I tripped over a sidewalk where it wasn't even with the grass. And I tripped and I fractured my kneecap. And I was off work for 6 weeks. And then the month after that, my mother died. And just to kind of squeeze this in here before I tell you the rest of it, 5 months after that, I fell in the shower and broke my kneecap again, the same one.
The same one.
Still didn't have surgery, but that's when I really hurt my back. But we'll get back to that part. So after my mom died, his mom died, and then not long after that, my grandmother died. Then my brother died, then his brother-in-law died, then his brother died, then his sister died, and then my stepdad died, and I know there were a couple other people there, but it was just one right after the other, and it was just one thing after the other. My back continued to get worse. He blew out his back in 2011. Probably right after his mother died.
Doing all of things of shoveling snow. I ruptured my L5S1 disc shoveling snow. And the
heavy wet snow.
Heavy wet snow. And the radiologist, you know, he wanted to know how I was still able to walk around. Because once he read the MRI, I was in for surgery within 5 days. And it was major, incredible pain. Probably, I would say ranks up there. If I was ranking pain I've ever felt in my life, physical pain, it probably ranks in the top three. And for 2 weeks, I didn't take a deep breath, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, when Kelly was talking about all these family members that passed away, let me put it into perspective a little different way. We lost all those family members, 3, 6, 7, 8 family members in the course of 4 years. And 3 of those family members all lived in the same household. So the household completely disappeared. Poof. And due to death. And the deaths were, 2 of them were cancer related. The other one was just old age. And it just, so an entire household disappeared due to death. And, you know, we've had to deal with that plus job changes. And, you know, it's taken a toll on us physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, the whole 9 yards. And friends and family that are close to us can attest to that. And I won't tell you who those people are. But they can attest to the fact that, you know, it's been brutal. And I see on Facebook all the time, you know, I've been diagnosed with MS in 2017. So, you know, this all started in 2011. And from 2011 to 2015, we lost 8 family members that were close to us. And then 2017, I'm diagnosed with MS. This whole time, Kelly's been battling diabetes type 1.
Severe back pain. We can't figure out what it is.
Yeah, we've had
16 doctors.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the entire time. Well, and that's what we're giving you all this information because we're trying to stress to you that with the exception of 1 month, our entire marriage has been nothing but a struggle. And we're not talking like, oh my gosh, where are we going to eat next week? I mean, I'm talking, are we going to have a house? Are we going to keep our utilities?
Are we going to eat?
Yeah, are we going to eat next week? Or this week, or tonight, you know, it's been a fight. But, you know, one thing I can tell you is the one thing that's kept us through. Let me go back. I see on Facebook all the time, either men or women that are in the different groups that I'm in will post that they're getting a divorce because their spouse can't handle XYZ, whatever it is. You know, handle
the MS or handle, a cancer. They're not supportive of the MS or of cancer or
whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing that I think about, the one thing that I think about and I'm thankful for is the fact that we've literally walked through hell and we're not out of it yet. we can see a hopeful light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not out of it yet. And the one thing I'm thankful for is the fact that that's the one thing that has never been shaken. Even though all this stuff that we've pointed out, all these waves of life have bashed against us left, right, all night long, all morning long. You know, the minute you open your eyes in the morning, anxiety just rushes over you like you fell in the bathtub full of water. And you live with it day in, day out, day in, day out, 7, 8 years. And it doesn't ever stop. But, you know, the one thing that's been consistent is the bond between she and I. And every time something bad happens, it makes that bond stronger. And from my point of view, and I'll shut up here in a second and let Kelly talk. But from my point of view, you know, back when you get married and you say those vows, well, if you say the traditional vows, I know a lot of people and a lot of couples have strayed away from those traditional vows. But, you know, you talk about rich or poor, sickness and health, and, you know, all of those things. Well,
we've done
them all. Better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and health. What if it's always worse, sick, and poor? What if you're, you know, and ask this to yourself. If you are just now dating you're thinking about getting married, you have a marriage planned, you've just started a marriage, or even if you're 10 years down the road in a marriage, ask yourself, and hopefully your spouse is sitting there listening to this with you, what if it's always worse, poor, and sickness? How are you going to handle that? Are you tough enough to handle that?
Your relationship strong enough to deal with that?
Yeah. What if it's always those things? And I always ask people that are talking about marriage. Oh, I want to get married, blah, blah, blah. And they think it's going to be all hunky-dory and all that nonsense. You know, you have to think about, if you make those promises standing there before your spouse and before God, and I don't care whether you believe in God or not, I'm still going to say it that way. If you're standing there and before family, friends, your spouse, and before God, and you make those promises, and then down the road when life starts getting tough, however you define tough, and you tuck tail and run, then all of those things that you stood up there and said were for nothing. You basically lied to everybody you know. And that's the way I see it. And that's my perspective is, you make those promises till death do you part. You know, every morning, I got to be honest with you, there are mornings that I'm mad at myself that I woke up because life has been that bad. But I get up, put my feet on the floor, and we make another day happen. And it's been brutal. It's been rough. But I know that when Kelly's eyes open and she gets up, we are still a team. We are, I mean, there have been times, don't get us wrong, there have been times when we've had to sit down and go, okay, let's refocus here. But we do it and we move on because we are still a team. Life goes to crap all the time, but we keep stepping forward. We keep moving forward and our bond keeps getting stronger.
So how do we do that? How do we maintain us? Well, first of all, we laugh. We laugh at each other. Not like, we don't make fun of each other, but we call each other names. You know, we've always had a relationship where, we call each other like jerk face or
plunger lips
or whatever, we just do those things and we give each other a hard time and we've always known how far to take it. And, we just have that humor and that's what we have in common. But
in fact, that's what almost got us kicked out of Perkins.
But, we have humor and we kind of have a balance of when he's kind of falling apart, I know how to comfort him. And when I fall apart, he knows how to comfort me. So we kind of, I'm kind of like, I don't know. For example, I won't go into major detail, but we're drowning financially just because of medical bills. And I'm not working because of my back and, I've filed for disability. And that's a long process, as some of you might know. But so we're just kind of drowning in that aspect. And that's where a lot of our struggle is. That's where most of our struggle is. And some of our utilities are about to be shut off and we're trying to figure out how to keep that from happening. So he was like, I'm just done. Let's just throw the last bit of money we have and keep the lights on, And I said, no, we can't do that. That's all we've got. There's got to be a way. And, he's just walking away and Mike, can we change anything right now? No. Is there stuff we can do? Possibly, but we can't do anything right now because it's nighttime. We'll have to make calls in the morning. This is what we can do. And the next day we did all the things that I suggested and things actually turned out pretty well. We made arrangements with a couple of things. We reached out to a couple of places. I mean, no, we haven't got everything figured out yet, but we're working on it. So, and he calmed down and was able to kind of see things, you know, from a different perspective. I'm kind of like, okay, let's look at this. Can we change it right now? No, then stop worrying about it, because if we can't change it, there's no sense in stressing about it. I know, easier said than done sometimes, but at that moment, if you can't change it, stop. Just take a deep breath and kind of calm down, because if it's out of your hands, it's out of your hands. And kind of like Mark said, this is the way I'm going to put it because that's the way I believe it. You know, give it to God. That's about all you can do, is just pray about it and give it to God, because that's what I've been doing, is just, and I feel calmer, and I feel, you know, and a lot of my fears aren't even about the bills and the, you know, not having a place to live or the financial aspect of it. It's my health. And, you know, I have a lot of complications from the diabetes that I've had for 34 years. And not knowing what's wrong with my back and whatever else I've got going on right now. You know, it's that kind of stuff, you know, and the pity that I have for myself that I'm trying to work on, for not being able to vacuum my house without pain, or, you know, being able to play with my grandchildren without having tremendous pain, or, you know, having to ask the doctor for a handicap placard because I can't walk from the damn parking lot to the store without crying because I hurt so bad. So it's like, you know, I'm 44 years old. You know, I shouldn't have to be in this position and not know why. You know, I'm an X-ray tech. I absolutely loved my job. It was the best thing I ever did in my life, and I enjoyed it. I think I was pretty good at it. And I can't do it anymore. You know, I've had to make that decision not to do it anymore. And he's been supportive about it. You know, he didn't want me to give it up, but that I finally decided that it's time to just hang up my lead apron and, you know, let it lapse, let my registry lapse. Because I really, at this point, don't think that it's going to happen again, because my back is just not going to let me. So, you know, we kind of have to carry each other. You know, I know people have it far, far, far worse than what we do right now. I mean, ours is financial and some health. And then there's people that have cancer or, you know, that are way sicker than we are and have it far worse. I'm not trying to say that we just have it awful, you know, worse than other people, because we don't. You know, we should be lucky and thankful for what we do have, and we are.
Exactly.
But, you know, for us, this is bad for us. This is us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people, if they don't have support for each other, they wouldn't even make it through half the years that we've made it through with all the crap that we've been through. I mean, there were some other things in those years that really tried to break us. Satan tried to get in there and break us apart, but he didn't succeed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're just, I mean, we have been blessed with so many people in our lives that have been there to help us, that have been placed in our lives to help us, that have been there to become part of our lives as family, as friends that become family. So we have been so, so blessed in so many ways.
You know, and from a guy's point of view, you know, let's go back to that moment that she just referenced. And this is for the guys that are listening. You know, I'm sitting here looking at our laptop, looking at our bank account, and I'm sitting here looking at, I'm not doing it currently, but, you know, I'm looking at all these medical bills and stuff that are piled up. And then I, you know, I add up what it takes just to keep the lights on, the gas on, and the rent. And that number is three times what's in the account, you know, and here, I kind of let my own male ego get to me. Because, you know, I'm the man of the house. I'm supposed to be providing for my wife, you know, making sure things are solid. And one thing, just to add into that, you know, I made a promise a long time ago to Kelly that she would never be evicted. She would never have those struggles. And here I am, a breath away from being right where I promised that she wouldn't be. And I mean, literally a breath away. You know, and when I grew up, there were nights that I slept in my clothes. And some nights I even slept in my shoes because we were removed from two houses that were going to be condemned. The houses were that bad. And so it really made a, I guess you call it a scar. It made an impact, an imprint, or whatever, to make sure the house is solid. Rent, utilities, food. And here I am doing the math in my head going, there's no way in the world I can do that. And for that little bit, I felt like an absolute failure. The kitten just jumped on the table. But, you know, as a guy, I felt like an absolute failure because I've worked so hard through college, master's degree, you know, got all these teaching certifications and yada, yada. And I can't even pay the rent and keep the lights on because of all the, well, we've talked about it, all this stuff that's happened. And, you know, it in that moment, it just smashed me. And, you know, I just said, you know what, forget it, I'm done. And I walked off, went to the bedroom, and as I laid there, you know, I thought, you know what, I've watched a video from Marcus Luttrell, and in that video, he talks about when he was doing an operation overseas and he got shot, and his entire team was destroyed. And if you've never seen Marcus Luttrell or read the book Last Survivor, you need to check it out, because there's one statement in there that keeps me rolling. And I'm going to use a little language here, but it is what it is. He's been shot. He's the last one. And he's hiding under a rock and he's looking at the moon. There's a little bit of a downtime in the combat. And he's looking at the moon and he goes, I'm feeling sorry for myself. He goes, and then suddenly he goes, I thought, quit being a bitch. Get up. Let's go. And I'm laying back there in bed, whining and feeling sorry for myself because, you know, what I just went through, what I just explained. And I thought the same thing. I thought about that scene because after that scene, he crawls for 7 miles, drawing a line, crawls to the line, if I'm going to do it again, he crawls for 7 miles for help. And I thought, you know, a guy that's been shot through and through 11 times, or 7 or 11 times, and crawls for help in a country 3,000 miles from home and makes it out, surely I'm sitting here with a few bills. I'm still in my house. The lights are still on. I need to get up and start moving. So, you know, it kind of, you know, guys listening to this, if you get into that position where you're at that brink where you want to give up, back off. Give yourself time to recalibrate, rethink, give yourself time to think and get a realistic point of view, and then listen to your other half, because she's like, this is what we need to do. And I thought, you know, after I gave myself a little bit of time, I was like, yep, you're right. Either we lose our house or we give it a shot. You know, as a guy, that's one thing that I've learned is, you know, oh, well, I'm the man of the house, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, poop, crap, throw that out. You know, you're a team. And, oh, you probably hear the thunder. You're a team. And sometimes you got to step up and do what men have to do to make the house function, to make the marriage function.
You just have to do everything together. Talk it out together. Be supportive of each other.
Yep.
And you can make it through it all. I mean, that's how we've done it. That's, if one falls, the other one comforts and catches, and you know, if the other one's suffering, you know, if he suffers, you know, I comfort. If I suffer, he comforts, you know, and that's the way it should be. I mean,
a majority of our medical appointments, we go to each other's medical appointments.
If able to. Yeah. I'm able to go to all his, but he's not able to do all mine. But.
Yeah. And you know, that's why I said a majority of, because there's some that I can't go to. But we go to each other's appointments enough that when we walk in, one, they know us, and two, they ask where the other one is. You know, and that's a good thing, because that tells us we're doing the right thing. You know, when you can drive up to the drive-thru at the pharmacy and they don't have to ask all those questions, they already know. They just go, oh, hi, and they go back and get your stuff.
That just means you're a frequent flyer.
Yeah, you're just a frequent flyer. I mean, but I can't tell you how many prescriptions that between the two of us that we take, but I can tell you it's in the double digits. I know for sure, and Kelly takes more than I do, but I don't know. We could probably have a contest on who spends the most each month, but we have just accepted that as a new normal. And we've refused to let that the negative part of that normal, we refuse to let that get us down. I mean, yeah, we take a few shots, but
you know. Do we waller sometimes in our pity and our you know, situation? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, then we kind of shake it off and think, okay, let's refocus. Let's figure yep. this out. Sometimes it's even a post on Facebook that's, you know, that kind of slaps us in the face and says, get it together, guys. And, you know, or my sister, you know, will say something, you know, from the religious point, or you know, so yeah. it helps. So just the point is, support each other always support each other. Mm-hmm. And don't let the other flail about and just let them, you know, sink.
And by that same token, when you make decisions with the other person in mind first. When you make, I mean, we've moved all over the friggin' state. And my first thought is, okay, how is this going to affect Kelly? Is this something that we can avoid? Is this something, you know, always think, okay, I'm making this decision that affects my household. How does this affect my spouse? Filter it through them first. Talk to them about it first. You know, and when your spouse comes to you and says, hey, I think X, Y, Z. You know, for example, when Kelly said, I think I'm going to hang up my lead apron. You know, I thought, oh, that's, you know, because I know that's her dream job. And then I think, okay, that's what she thinks is the right thing to do. Maybe down the road, is that still a possibility? Possibly. I'm not going to rule it out. But if she thinks that's the right thing to do for her, then I'm going to support it. And, you know, take a little time. Give yourself time to think. You know, Jeff Yalden says, take time to think. And that's what you do. I learned from one of my first superintendents, 98% of decisions do not need to be made right now. Take some time. Think about it. Talk with your spouse. You know, talk with other trusted members of your family that, you know, have no buy-in. They have no dog in the race. You know, but they are also wise about, you know, different things. take some time to think.
Perspective.
Yeah, and get perspective from other people, and just understand, you'll get all those perspectives and take that into account. Talk to your spouse and say, okay, I think this is the way we need to go, and then stick with it. But as far as your marriage goes, stay the course. Stay the course. Yeah. Trust us, it's ugly sometimes. It's ugly, it's mean, it's nasty. You know, it's not, oh, we're going to throw rice and have roses and yak, 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 yak. Yeah, there are days when you eat mac and cheese and peanut butter and jelly for days. Man, it's the way it is. I'd rather be sitting beside her eating a peanut butter and jelly than sitting by myself in some cardboard box somewhere wishing I had a peanut butter and jelly. You know, get focused. If you guys have questions about any of this, my email will be in the show notes. And you can email me. If you download the Anchor app onto your phone, you can leave a voice message and ask questions. If you have questions about specific things, how did we make it through X, Y, or Z? You know, we'd be more than willing to help. More than willing to help anything. Because both of us have been through previous divorces. You know, it's we've been through a lot.
Single parent.
Yeah, single parent, all those things. And by the way, of those 8 people that passed away in 4 years, 4 of those people didn't have insurance. So we had to, as a family, we had to figure out how we were going to cover their funerals. Because they didn't have insurance. They didn't have any money to cover a funeral. So there was another stress. You know, and so, and I just thought of that as I was looking at the list. But please ask questions. I'm going to post this on Facebook and any other social media outlet that I've got just to try to be helpful to others. And guys, always remember, if you're having problems, if nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes.
Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thanks, you guys. Hope things go well.
Thank you for listening to the Calvin's Class Podcast. You can connect with me on Instagram at Calvin's Class Podcast, or check out both my Facebook page, Calvin's Class Podcast, or my inspirational group called If Nothing Ever Changes. Please take a moment to give me a 5 rating and feedback on this podcast. You can go to anchor.fm/Calvin's Class to see other episodes and support this podcast. And remember, if nothing ever changes, nothing ever changes. See you next time.